We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin.
This is not a test. Every Tuesday, the Journey into Comics Network will bring you The Poor Rapport, your one-stop podcast shop for everything news and topics of personal interest. I am your host, Andrew Poor, and you can hear me every Tuesday.
The following is a Journey into Comics Network production. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast about everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
We've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. It's episode 162. I'm your host, Nate. Today, not joining me because I couldn't get my ass out of bed is Brando. He's taking the evening off, but it kind of works out because today we actually already had something kind of planned that was going to be a part of Journey into Comics. Now it is all of Journey into Comics. Today on episode 162, I am joined by my friends and members of the Journey into Comics Network. First, we're going to go ahead and introduce him. You guys know him from The Poor Rapport. He is also a co-host on Foodies Watching Movies. AP, how's it going, bro?
Hey, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. It's awesome to have you guys on today. Also joining us, I feel like you guys are legitimate twinsies. You have the Tuesday, Thursday, every week show thing kind of going on. You guys answered the call at the exact same time. We're just recently co-hosted guests on each other's shows, episode 7. Obviously, if you've been listening to the Journey into Comics Network, you know who I'm talking about. He is the host of Podcastrophy and longtime family member of Journey into Comics. It's Blaine. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Dude.
It's going great.
I'm glad to hear that, man. It's really weird how time travel works with podcasting. I just want to tell you guys this real quick on air because I've listened to episodes that are coming out tomorrow and Thursday this week. and I've actually also heard a pilot for something we can't talk about yet.
Oh boy.
And I, you know,
that
honestly,
one's fun.
There's so much cool news going on within the Journey into Comics Network that I'm just glad you guys are a part of it because now it's like it's starting to get kind of fun. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but like I feel like even if it seems a little bit more pressure because it's like, oh shit, Nate's going to now edit another one or two shows at least in some capacity, you know, getting intros and shit on, that it could be a little cumbersome, but man, I just feel like everybody has brought really great ideas and new stuff is coming down the pike. However, today, we're going to talk CW, guys. You guys are caught up on everything?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, yeah, I am.
This is interesting because there's the whole timing thing. I feel like I'm going to just do like AP Blaine, AP Blaine. We'll see how it works because you guys actually had a really great rapport in studio together.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being in that. It was a nice vibe to kind of get because it's the first time the Poor Rapport had a guest, so it was definitely nice to be able to bounce things off someone instead of just talking to your screen.
Yeah, I totally understand that. And then of course Blaine,
it's the best.
Blaine, for you, having guests on your show is no, I mean, you're just a pro at it at this point.
Yeah, I'm no stranger to that, and like it's just the show just doesn't have that spark without the guest for me. Because, I mean, I don't have a specific format besides just conversation, so I'm not going to have a conversation with myself, you know?
Yeah, that's I've done the conversation with myself, and I
me
did
too, with my segments.
Yeah, you we all kind of know what that's like to just talk to yourself on a podcast. And it can be fun. It can also be difficult. It just, I guess it kind of depends on how in tune with your own inner monologue you are and how comfortable you are just letting your thoughts out. Because I learned in the early days of JIC, if I just like put the inhibitors away and just let my free thought happen, that the podcast would breathe and just kind of do its own thing. I want to mention that it's super awesome. You guys are nearing. We are literally only 2 weeks away here. I think it's going to end up being the first week of November that this happens. You guys are both going to hit episode 10 of your show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited, though, because I think I told you what I had my plans for episode 10 were.
Your plans for episode 10 are going to be sick. I'm excited to see that part of your show come to life and see what you can bring to the table. And of course, Blaine, you were just talking about this on episode 8 of your show that comes out this Thursday. Make sure to check it out right here on the Journey into Comics Network, folks. You were just talking about how I always say that episode 10 is very important because, you know, it does let people know that you are serious about what you're doing. It shows that you have dedication, which is very important. If people don't, you know, if you're inconsistent, people are going to be like, why the fuck do I want to listen to this guy? He can't even, like, commit to the thing he said he was going to do. So you guys showing up every week and doing this now, we're, you know, so quickly nearing your episode 10s. I'm super excited. But let's move away from the network talk today. I don't know where I really want to start with this. We could go in chronological order of the way the show's aired, and that'll leave Blaine not talking for a while unless he wants to do some random interjections of thoughts and opinions. We could also just like kind of go with the most badassed ones, which I think right now The Flash and Arrow are whoa, holy shit stories. I don't know where to start. I'm going to actually do this random as shit. We're going to go AP, pick a show.
I'm going to have to be different. I really liked Legends this week.
Yeah, Legends was really good.
You guys go ahead and start off with Legends talk then. While I did see the episode, I feel like I might have actually not finished the whole thing. Like I'm feeling just a little uncertain with how the episode ended, so I'm just gonna let you guys kind of speak about the episode and refresh me as we go through here. I know that there it involved a circus.
Yes, it was P.T. Barnum's circus. I can't remember what actually the name of it was. It's like something in Oddities, or Blaine might remember the title of like the circus.
I don't remember.
That was the least likely thing to happen. He threw it to Blaine to remember the circus name.
All I can think about that entire episode is, holy shit, Billy Zane.
He's a cool
did
dude.
Did he play P.T. Barnum?
He did.
Yeah.
That was awesome. There's some turmoil between Nate and Amaya.
Yeah, they because it picked up, I think, where they were the beginning of the summer after everything kind of happened, and they had the whole that time off, and then it just, like, they're hanging out, doing the whole living together thing. They had a apartment. And then they actually showed some footage from an older season of Arrow on the TV, which was kind of interesting. If you remember, the vixen they used on Arrow, they had on the TV during that episode.
Yeah, that was a nice little Easter egg. And it kind of caused concern for Amaya.
Yeah, because the whole thing about her destiny is back in 1942 or 45 or something, and being there to produce that future vixen.
Yeah, but yeah. She kind of takes it into her own hands, Blaine, wouldn't you say?
What?
I'm saying that Amaya kind of takes that decision to change her own destiny, I guess, into her own hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I really liked her little struggle throughout this show, or throughout this episode. It was cool.
What was your favorite part of this episode, other than Billy Zane slaying it on screen?
Oh, my favorite part. Okay, so I have a couple favorite parts.
Sure.
Well, one was definitely Victor. Is that the actor's name or the
Victor
character?
Garber?
I can't remember right
yeah,
now.
He plays Martin Stein.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, like when he made the whole Titanic comment, I was like, that's hilarious. And then out of nowhere, Billy Zane, I'm like, well, because I couldn't even remember his name. So I'm sitting here watching it. He makes the Titanic comment. And then out of nowhere, they go to that circus thing. And I'm like, isn't that the dude from Titanic? And of course, I look it up and I'm like, oh shit, it is.
Yeah, that was probably the last time. That's probably the first time they've worked together since that movie. Because I don't think anything that he's done, they've done together.
21 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
22 years. 21 years.
I saw Titanic in theaters.
Same.
It scarred me.
It was like six.
Gotta love those late 90s effects, too.
Yeah, but it literally scarred me, dudes. Because my dad took me to see Titanic, and like that was the first time in my male life I saw boob next to my dad, and it was just awkward as fuck. And I was just like,
you better be closing your eyes.
No, my dad didn't do any of that shit because he didn't know what the fuck was coming. That's just how he is. He's like, oh, whatever. And then we just watched the movie, and I was just like mortified, like, what? Was I supposed to see that? Was that an accident? Is he just...
Or like, You didn't have to ask the question with the whole steamy hand thing. Just like, what are they doing in there? I don't know.
No, I mean, I was a pretty wily 9-year-old. I think that's right. 9 was 21 years ago. Wow, holy shit, my math is pretty good. I was a wily 9-year-old, so I knew what steamy sex was. I'm not stupid, and I mean, I even knew what boob was, but I wasn't expecting to see it next to my father. That's the thing that scarred me. It's almost like back in episode 5 of Podcastrophe with the scene in your dad's wiener.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, but it was different. I don't know. It's just something I always remember. But back to Legends, getting rid of my fucking tangent city here. I'm just trying to think, is there anything that they are setting up in this season that is just like you're really anxious to know what's coming next? Because I think the inability to figure out what Martin Stein's character is doing about his decision to possibly leave Firestorm is it's building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cause you know that his daughter is pregnant. So maybe that probably will make him feel like he needs to be back. Like, he wasn't there for a lot of his daughter's childhood. He needs to be there for his grandson, granddaughter. Maybe that'll be part of the reason.
Yeah. But then it begs to question, what do you do then with Jefferson Jax and the guy?
Cause I love that character, and he's the ship's mechanic. He's like the science officer on there.
Yeah. He's phenomenal at it. You know, I just don't know how Victor Garber is really great, and it's going to be hard for me to see him be replaced, I think.
Yeah. I honestly don't know how they're going to resolve the whole Firestorm situation. Because I feel like if you lose him, you have to lose Jackson, which I don't think would be fair to him. Because their rapport as a team is really good, and I think the show would suffer without him.
AP, I have a question.
Yeah.
You wrote a little bit of notes here, right? Not much. It was just a little notes. And one of the things you were talking about, and I'm trying to pull it back up because I want to word it the right way. You're talking about Gary is the best Time Bureau agent. Please elaborate.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so you remember they're watching the show, or they're watching the circus, and they see that guy spying on them, and they go there and, like, knock him out, and it's Gary, the Time Bureau agent. So they take him back to the ship, and are, like, interrogating him, and that's when, like, they, like, have him handcuffed to a chair and have him call his boss that, I can't remember the Time Bureau, like, the person in charge that's under Rip, that lady with, like, the really tight bun.
She kind of sort of looks like the gal from Better Call Saul, but it's not her.
Yeah,
I keep getting that look in her face. I'm just like, is that the chick from Better? Oh, no, it's not. But is it, are you? But it's not. Okay.
Right. So one thing that, because then, like, they call her and he's obviously terrible at lying to her, and then she shows up and they have that, like, epic fight scene, and then I remember, like, ending with, like, don't forget Gary, and I was like, gotta love Gary. Gary's like what is it, that one from Deadpool, like the Hydra agent?
Oh, Hydra Bob.
Yeah, it's kind of what it reminds me of a little bit.
Oh, hey Bob, that was in Deadpool. I loved that, because that
Bob?
Was one of those things that you weren't really expecting them to reference. Is the Hydra agent. We're tangenting into Deadpool for a minute. But let's kind of move on here. We're definitely on a limited time crunch here. We're going to get some final thoughts on Legends. We'll go with Blaine first. Final thoughts on this second episode of Legends.
That was pretty good. I liked it more than the first episode, for sure. I'm very eager to see where the season goes, along with the crossover later on. I definitely want to see where... what's her name? Amaya?
Yeah.
I want to see where she goes. I want to see her and what's-his-face's relationship, how that settles throughout the season. I definitely want to see some more Sarah kicking ass, because she kicked some ass.
Oh, yeah.
Tangent real quick.
Sure, do it.
So I was watching, and this connects to the CW Arrowverse. I was watching the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street last night / today, and... the chick who plays Laurel Lance, she's in it.
Yeah, she's with blonde hair.
Yeah, and I was like, I was sitting there watching it, because I loved that movie when it came out, unpopular opinion. And I was just like, I remember watching it, and then I was watching it last night. I'm like, holy fuck, that's Laurel. I was watching it with my girlfriend, and just I was like, holy
shit. They actually filmed that. Yeah, they actually filmed that up in the suburbs by me, which is kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
And like some of the high schools, like they filmed like different scenes at different high schools over there. I'm like, mm-hmm. Huh, that's interesting. Yeah, I think
that's my tangent.
I guess my thoughts on the episode. I agree with Blaine. It was definitely a lot better than the first episode. They finally had like something to kind of strive for. They had a mission, something to unify around. And I really want to see where this whole Time Bureau thing shapes out the rest of the season. Are they going to become as kind of intense as like the Time Masters from the first season, or if it's gonna be something that Rip's gonna start disagreeing with the way they're doing things and kind of break off and become like an earlier season Rip before he was like went off on this own little thing? But yeah, I want to see because I know that has to hit ahead at some point this season.
Yeah,
but there's disagreements between basically everyone who's not Rip and the Legends.
Yeah, I think you guys have hit the nail on the head that this was an awesome episode too. They're growing on the story. There are a lot of things that can happen. I think Legends is going to be our catalyst for the... While I know that Supergirl is... Actually, do you guys know about what's going on within the four-night... with the two-night crossover? How Arrow is moving to Monday for just this event?
Yeah, they're going to do a two-day, two-hour movie.
Yeah, that's fucking incredible.
Kind of how they're... Yeah, I'm gonna like that a lot better than I think the Fortnite crossover, just because it left you on a cliffhanger and you had to wait a whole day. Now you get like a nice block of episode where it'll just feed right into the next, and then... Because this will be the first episode that like Supergirl's actually a full part of. It's not just end of that episode, and then, oh yeah, Supergirl's now.
Oh yeah, we can just bring her in all of a sudden. Oops. You know what's cool, though? They got more creative later last season in The Flash with the musical crossover and Supergirl. And I love that they're starting to take different risks. Moving Arrow to Monday is definitely a different risk because it's like a one-night special. You get it, bang, bang, Monday, cliffhanger probably right after the Arrow airs, and then bang, bang, you get the solution the very next night. They're going to get huge ratings from that. And I think that the Legends... I don't know how. I feel like the Legends, maybe through Mon-El, maybe through the Legion of Superheroes. I know this is kind of future tripping a little bit deeper into this season, but it's like I want them to do something where the Legends are the catalyst to bring Earth X out. I don't want it to be Barry and the Flash, because it's
because the Legends episode is the finale. That's the last episode of the crossover.
I know, but I want it to like literally like somehow the Legends end up on Kara's world. And that's the start of the crossover. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are the Legends on Supergirl on Monday? That's crazy. And then it can, like, before the episode is over, now they've started to really assemble the team. Because I think it's important out the gate for Supergirl to tonally set this up as, this is fucking epic, and we are using all the parts. And I don't want them to wait till Legends to finally bring the team together all the way and then have the finale kind of wrap up real quick. They've got to do an interesting way of telling the story. Moving on. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think is maybe the Legends will find the Ray. I think they'll find him. And that might catalyst into the other shows. Ooh. Like the episode that leads their episode right before the crossover. I think might introduce the Ray, which is, you know, the superhero on that Earth X.
Yeah, which is the CW. They're doing it as a CW cartoon on Seed as a build up to kind of get people aware of who the Ray is. And we'll get his in-screen debut during that crossover event, which is exciting. There's a lot of huge things happening this season on the CW shows. We're going to riff this thing. I'm going to throw the ball into the air and say we should talk about Flash next. Let's go ahead and get the Flash talk out of the way.
I like that old-time rock and roll.
Oh, man, that was a beautiful post-cold open, which was dark as fuck. Let me just shake a dude to death in an elevator.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kilgore.
Yeah, do you guys want to know something really fucking weird? I'm going to tangent just for a second, but I swear it's so... Definitely, this is the best place to talk about it. Yesterday, which is 2 days ago for people who are listening to this on the release day, Walk Among Us played Detroit. You guys are aware of that. I have not, like, I didn't really recount to you guys anything that's happened yet, but it's actually quite interesting. So while the drive was pretty normal, there was nothing too unnatural. It was like a 3 hour and 50 some odd minute drive to the venue. And we got there right at load in and whatever. But here's the weird thing. Multiple times yesterday, I had huge CW references happening. And here's what I mean. I yesterday at random grabbed a shirt as soon as I got up, threw it on. I just so happened to put my Arrow shirt on. So I was like, oh, cool. It's a CW day. Ha ha ha. Veronica and I are in the truck. We're driving to Detroit. We stop to get fuel. We stop at a Culver's to get food. There is a, it's not a PT Cruiser. I can't think of what this car is. It's a Chevy, but it's like a cube. I don't know what the
HHR.
Hell it's called. Maybe. It probably is that, yeah. But it was all red and literally had Flash emblems on it as if it were the Flash. And I was like, that's
awesome.
Nice. And I was like, okay, that's kind of bizarre. Then we're exiting to the venue onto Kilgore Road. I was like, this is fucking weird, dudes. Like, it was like the Flash and Arrow and CW was just all encompassing yesterday.
Last thing you see, like, a Supergirl cosplayer at your concert. But, like, what is happening?
Officially, I think I would have jumped off the drums at that point. Like, I'm done. There's too much.
Can't do
what
it.
The shit? But anyways, let's get into this Flash talk. We had Kilgore as the, you know, kind of baddie of the week, setting up what's going on with the Thinker. You have some interest.
1-1-1 day.
1-1-1 day with Cisco and Gypsy. Almost forgot her name. I would have felt like a schmuck. You've got some interesting going ons with Caitlin and her inability to control Killer Frost.
Iris stuff.
Iris and Barry stuff, which was very interesting. Couples therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So let's kick it over to AP first. What do you think on this episode? What were some things that stuck out to you?
I still loved the breakfast scene. It reminded me a lot of season one, like when you just rush in and grab coffee and like leave money. So I was like, oh, look at that. He's doing it again. But like did all during a flip of a pancake.
Yeah, just to kind of, like, really showcase how much faster he is.
Oh, and then the him watching Game of Thrones at, like, 10,000, like, frames a second. He's like, Jon Snow's dead. Oh, he's alive! Oh, that's...
It was funny, like, too, at the start of that, because he's like, his reaction was like, oh, no! Oh, yeah! Oh, no! Oh. And then, like, Iris is like, what are you doing? And then he's like, oh, you know, Cisco's just catching me up because, you know, they're like, the internet's a landfill of spoilers now, thanks to Journey into Comics, you assholes. since we're spoiling this episode for everybody, a week old, I don't care. But the funny thing at the end of that was what you said about how, you know, he's like, Jon Snow's dead. Oh, he's alive. And I just thought to myself, like, man, for anyone who hasn't watched GOT, who intended on watching it, good fucking job, The Flash. You know?
Cool.
At least you know Earth One has Game of Thrones.
Very solid point.
But it's different cast. That would be hilarious. Like, Rupert Grint is Jon Snow. Like, what is this? Like, I don't know what's happening.
Earth One's Ned Stark survived.
Oh my god, that would be crazy.
But the crazy thing is, because he survived, there was like zero drama throughout the entire show.
Oh, that's
so it basically just turned into a sitcom.
It's like Seinfeld or Friends, but it's with the Game of Thrones cast.
Yes.
You know, that show would be totally different if Ned Stark was still alive.
Oh yeah.
That show goes nowhere fast.
I gotta talk a hypothetical. Who the fuck is the Kramer of the Game of Thrones if that's the way the show goes out? Who's just the lovable idiot that just busts in at inopportune times?
Hodor?
Oh my god, that's great.
Samwell Tarly.
Oh, that's even better.
That's better, yeah.
Oh man, but I could kind of see Samwell kind of more as a Newman character though. You know,
Littlefinger would be Newman.
Maybe Braun.
Oh, Littlefinger as Newman is better.
Yeah, see? let's get back. We can do a whole episode about What If Game of Thrones.
was Seinfeld.
Oh man. Yeah. What if Seinfeld?
Maybe we should do that for a Patreon exclusive.
Oh my God.
After Game of Thrones wraps, we'll do a whole what if special and we'll take concepts and just like, what if Game of Thrones was in the Step by Step universe? And it's about the Lannisters.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's dumb. I'm sorry, guys. Anyways, back to the Flash. Damn it.
Yeah.
This is Tangent Catastrophe.
Well, one thing I really liked about the way the second episode of Flash took is that all the groundwork that Iris had laid, like, over the summer and in episode one, Flash just throws it out the window. It's like, oh, I know what to do. I'm the Flash. I got this. And just disobeys everything that she'd laid down. Like, all right.
I found it super interesting that they did the couples therapy thing. And, like, I guess if it was me and I had to go to couples therapy and I was also a superhero, I would better think about some of the things that may happen while we're in that meeting that don't make us look like we have miscommunication, because Iris and Barry don't have miscommunication. They're really good at communicating for the most part. But to the psychiatrist who is seeing them in couples therapy, they seem hot fucking
mess. Why are you
mess.
Taking notes? That's not a problem. Oh, I'm just taking notes. I have to go.
You're not going to write down that he just left, right? Yes, I'm going to write that down, you know. But what was your favorite part about the episode, Blaine?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, as dumb as it sounds, I really enjoyed the what's his name? I had it in my head. I love the Bob Seger. The whole Bob Seger scene.
Oh, you're talking about
I can't get away from
it. What, Risky Business?
Yeah.
Is that the Risky Business thing with Tom Cruise?
Mm-hmm. And I'm a big Bob Seger fan, so like just to hear that come on, I was like, oh hell yeah. But I enjoyed the new suit. I enjoyed how in the trailer they made the new suit like basically just complete comic relief for the trailer, but in the actual show it was the villain using the suit against him.
Yeah, it made for an interesting thing because the Flash has mostly operated without having too much tech. I mean, he obviously has some tech, but his high speed is the most important thing. Being Cisco, he's a genius. He wants to make everything a step up for his hero friends. He's always constantly I want to know when Cisco sleeps. If he's making gear for every member of Team Arrow, Team Flash, sometimes the Legends, if Ray needs his suit adjusted or something. Like, what does... And also, what does Cisco get paid to do also? Because he's not making much on the CCPD gig. I mean, let's be real.
Well, did he get all of Harrison Wells's... Didn't, like, Barry Allen get all of Harrison Wells's money when he died in that will?
Yeah, but do you think Barry's just writing paychecks to his friends to help Star Labs stay afloat?
Yeah. Probably.
I don't know.
You guys are just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard.
I just love how Cisco keeps mentioning, I love having a satellite.
Yeah.
Having my own satellite.
I love the whole thing and it's like, take all of the tech out of the suit. Like, that's... But I think that was my favorite villain that we've had in a while, just because I really like it's an interesting ability, and the whole thing that he's not tied to the accelerator explosion.
Yeah, which is good, because they had, you know, they kind of teased this last season that there were possibly metas that had been created not because of the particle accelerator exploding. And some like, well, how can that be? So that actually is a beautiful time now. We're early in season four to drop that somehow, some way, metas are being created in elsewhere.
Yeah, I look at he's like, he says like, oh, I'm not the only one. I was like, what?
Yeah, like, and it's only just beginning here. Like the floodgates coming. It makes me think about season two with Zoom, and like now there's a whole new tier of upper thinking villains. I can't wait for us to get our first return villain speedster this season.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to Eobard returning, or maybe we get Hunter to come back in some way. I don't know how you'd do that.
I really like that idea.
I would love to see a costume New 52 Reverse Flash.
Oh my God, his new silver with the like the black lines that go down his arms.
Yes, that would be amazing.
Yeah, that suit's super awesome. There's actually this dude, Boss Logic, who does a lot of concept art and like, oh, people want to know what fucking Army Hammer would look like as the Green Arrow or the Green Lantern. I can make that. And this dude fucking photoshops the shit and makes it look super high tech and cool looking. He did the Red Death in like a realistic style and it looks amazing. Blaine, do you know about Red Death?
Sounds familiar.
He's a new character. Essentially, there's this dark metal saga happening in DC right now, and a bunch of alternate Batmans have been created.
Okay. It's basically in an alternate world where Batman chose to take the powers of the Justice League. So at one point, this is a little spoiler, but I don't know if you're going to read the comic. It's he turns his Batmobile into a sonic treadmill and sucks all of the Speed Force from the Flash and takes it on as his own ability. It's really messed up, but he becomes, the Red Death. I was like, okay.
It's awesome because his suit's got the Bat logo on his chest, but there's a lightning bolt through the center of it.
Oh, that'd be rad.
And he kind of looks like Zoom. Like, he's got the kind of weird mouth coverage going on and still looks like Batman. Still has the bat ears.
Can't get rid of those.
I'm looking this up. I got to see this.
There's, you know, I'm wondering, do you guys think we're going to start getting building towards Bart Allen's introduction into the Flash? He being the 31st century Flash, grandson of Barry?
Well, they did tease the Tornado Twins, kinda.
Yes, they did last week.
So it's possible, but I don't know if they're ready to open the doors to this to the distant future beyond Eobard Thawne.
I just think there's a whole lot of story that hasn't been told yet that they can pull from for that. I mean, how incredible would it be to do a whole episode in the 25th century as Eobard? Like, here's the thing. He has such a tragic story, guys. Think about it. He literally is a kid who is obsessed with the Flash. He loves the Flash. He's like, oh my God, I want to be like the Flash. Someday I want to run as fast as the Flash. He learns how to run as fast as the Flash. He can then kind of replicate what the Flash was doing and realizes he's the Flash's greatest foe. That's a mind fuck. Then you're like, well, what do I do? Do I go back and fuck with him? And start this thing that we have that creates him to be such a legendary superhero who I fell in love with and wanted to emulate? Or do I break the status quo and not do that, which of course he decides to take the darker path? I would just love to see that on TV, you know?
Yeah, I know they said at some point when they were talking about the show that they were going to avoid time travel for a bit, but I think that would be a good thing to do in season 5.
Ooh, yeah. That'd be a good. Of course, what they'll probably do is at the end of season 4, there'll be some epic thing that looks like they're going to change the whole status quo of the Flash, and we'll totally expect that. And then the first episode of season 5 will totally undo that and go back to kind of a normal show. That's their MO.
I still wanted like 3 episodes of just Kid Flash as the only speedster.
That would have been sweet.
We talked about that when we did our like finale breakdown. I wanted what we talked about so bad, and they're like, as soon as they started teasing their trailer, I'm like, well, he's going to come back in like episode 1, like halfway through it. And that's what was. I was like, all right. Just like when they did second season premiere, Flashpoint. It's like,
what? Season 3 premiere?
Season 3 premiere. Yeah, like one and done. All right.
Yeah, Flashpoint. I wanted more Flashpoint.
I know they couldn't do much because it would affect all of the other CW shows. They let it run a couple more weeks, and then like you'd have the Flashpoint, Arrow, and Legends, and well, maybe not Legends because Legends might, I don't know, with time it might not have affected them as the same. I don't know, but yeah, it would have affected all the other shows except like Supergirl and Legends. But they could have done an Arrow. I would have watched that.
But yeah, it would be super interesting.
But I know they do it because they don't. There's people who watch one CW show, but not the rest.
Yeah. You know,
I don't get it at all, but people do it.
Okay, so let's wrap Flash Talk a little bit here, guys, and get into what we thought about the episode. Personally speaking, I think this is a great stepping stone in the second episode of the season. It's definitely getting my love for the flashback, and I'm all jacked up and ready for more Flash, more Flash, more Flash. Before we know it, we're going to be at a, you know, an epic mid-season finale. Before we know that, we're going to be at a crossover event, and, you know, the next thing we know, we're going to be at the finale and be like, holy shit, this show, like, it's like the Flash literally emulates the character that we're watching, because it seems like it happens so fast. Like, I don't know about you guys, but it seems like every season of The Flash just happens, and it's boom, before you know it, it's over, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
I want The Flash again. What?
Give me more. I'm ready to see more of this villain.
Yeah, that's one thing I've loved, is that for like the first time, we know who the villain is episode one. Like, we know who he's going to be. We don't know what his plan is yet, but like, they've shown him. He's been in every episode so far. I mean, it's only been two, but they've never brought out the big...
All two episodes.
But they never brought out, like, their season-long villain until, like, the mid-season premiere. Like, it's like they've never, like, done that, like, reveal of who this person actually is. And now we're like, oh, he's the Thinker. Awesome.
Yeah, I think that it was cool, too, the Thinker playing piano at the end of the episode there.
I like that, too. How he finished that symphony or whatever.
He's like, oh, I just, you know, totally... figured out the way he would have done it and just did it. That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. Let's go ahead and jump from Flash to the founder of the Arrowverse, as it were, Mr. Oliver Queen, in a very epic and intense, action-packed second episode of this season. Holy shit.
Yeah, the Bravo, man.
Back.
Anatoly.
I love Anatoly.
Yeah.
Man, I wasn't expecting him to be a dickhead this season. Like, I really wasn't.
Man.
He had such a good arc last season with Ollie, you know?
Well, especially because, like, the last time we saw him, he was giving Oliver his bag of stuff to become the Arrow. Or become the Hood, I guess. Gave him his, like, original bag of stuff back. Like, all right, go do your thing. I was like, oh.
I loved, okay, a couple things here we're trying to stay focused today and not run too long. So a couple major things stick out on this episode, and we can start wherever you guys feel. So we talk about Anatoly and his arc, and he's like, he was a good dude, and then they have like this great relationship that's budding and building and interesting things. It moves into now where we are, where he's literally, it's weird because it seems like he maybe is taking some shots at Ollie, and in the beginning of the episode, you're like, oh my god, he fucking gave Ollie up as the Green Arrow. That's shitty, which we realize isn't the case. He literally is super noble about what he does to Oliver. He doesn't do anything that is, like, legitimately compromising. He just played the system well.
Right. Because basically he comes out and said, like, if I wanted to hurt you, I would just go after William. And you're like, oh, fuck, he knows about William. All right, let's, like... He's like, but I'm a nice man, but not everyone is. I'm like, dang, speaking the truth, Anatoly.
Yeah, he definitely did. It was like, okay, well, you know about William, and that gives me a beautiful segue to discuss him a little bit, because, guys, this was an amazing character-building episode for the character of William, who has been pretty much just a scared little boy plot device since we've seen him in Arrow.
Yes.
And I loved the interaction between him and Oliver.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was really cool seeing Oliver just like kind of take a step back take a different step in the parenting world, where he's just like, dude, just punch him in the nose.
Yes, I loved it. He's like, look, and you know what's funny? I swear on my life to you guys, the advice Ollie gives William about punching the bully, same advice I got when I was younger.
Yeah.
I never had the balls to do it because I was not walking up to some big dude and punching him because I thought I would get murdered.
Well, yeah.
But my dad did. He said, you find my dad's exact words, Nate, if these people keep bullying you, find the biggest motherfucker in the group and knock his teeth down his fucking throat or break his fucking nose and they won't mess with you. And I was just like, yeah, but look how little I am. I can't throw a punch like that. Come on now.
You just grab your fist and just break it and be like,
Yeah, that's what I expected to happen too. Like, I'm going to be this, my luck, I'm going to be fucking hit him in the face, but his face is going to be made out of metal or some shit, and I'm going to ruin my fist. Luckily, that didn't happen. But I just, what did you guys think about this relationship that's being kind of really beautifully built between Ollie and William?
I know one thing I liked was the, he has that, the whole issue of like being the Green Arrow and being a father now. And like the big thing kind of came to a head, like when he's trying to be fatherly to William, gets the call and then just bails out of the limo and just leaves him to go home by himself. I was like, and you kind of see that really kind of comes through the rest of the episode. And then it leads to kind of a pretty big thing, which I know we'll talk about later.
Yeah, there's quite a few big things that are coming out of this episode of Arrow. One thing I find interesting is we find out what's going on with Diggle and why he's been such a shitty shot in the first episode and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's weird. I guess you could have kind of figured that out by how they shoot the island scene coming back into this season. And you definitely see shrapnel hit John, and then like they show the scar. And you're just like, okay, well, it's building. Like, what's going on? And it was interesting because they go see the doctor to find the cure for the dude, the Marchovskis, I think. I can't. Markovskis?
Yeah, the dude who had, like, the tech dude from Russia who was, like, building a plant in Star City.
Yeah. And it was awesome because he's like, you know, we need this serum. That's a weird word.
Serum.
Sometimes, like, do you guys ever get that where you look at a word and you look at the word so much it looks misspelled?
Synonym.
Sometimes Gotham gets me. Because I can't see it as Gotham. I start reading it as Gotham.
Gotham.
I'm like, oh, damn it. That's a problem. And that's a whole nother show that's holy fuck. Blaine, I strongly advise you get your ass through Gotham because it is phenomenal.
Oh my God. That last episode.
It's on my Netflix list.
It is definitely worth it. And season four is just proving it is definitely a cut above the rest. I would argue it's now officially a better show than The Flash, even though I absolutely adore The Flash. I just think that Gotham is starting to figure out their stride of how to write really intelligent stories for themselves.
Yeah, Blaine, if you're not born on a Monday, you really should watch the show.
Ooh.
Oh. We'll see how it goes. My schedule's been so, with all the podcasting. So I've been doing mine. I've been helping out here and there wherever I can with you guys. Now I have this girlfriend now, so I got that part of my life and no complaints there. And then I've also been helping out with a new podcast. So like, and on top of that, I got video games coming out. I'm getting back into gaming a little bit. So
time is finite.
Oh yeah. That's my workout.
I might be going to pick up the fractured butthole tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yesterday, whenever this, I don't know, now. When this is happening now, today, that's when I'm hopefully doing it. Shit, that's
confusing.
I'll be
picking up Assassin's Creed.
Ooh, Origins, right?
Oh, when does that come out?
I believe Friday. When do games come out now?
Typically Fridays, unless you're Nintendo, and I do believe Nintendo's release is Sunday. Or at least it was for a while.
It'll be Friday,
then. I
need
to get that new Assassin's Creed. I haven't bought a new game in so long.
Maybe we should all do a better job and listen to Game Addicts podcast at gameaddicts.com. A member of the Journey into Comics family with their hosts.
Oh, yes, that podcast.
Brandon Stone and Mike Norris every Thursday on podcasting services around the globe.
I've seen those people in person now.
Hey, yes, you know what these fucking people look like. We haven't talked about that yet. We had the huge meeting of the mind. You know what? Before we do that, we'll wrap with that, but let's real quick talk about the end sequence of Arrow. We'll talk a little bit about what we think about the episode, and then let's spend a few minutes there at the end discussing what we thought about the podcast-a-mania that we just experienced last weekend. So, first of all, Blaine, what did you think about what is kind of the changing of the guard, if you will, in Team Arrow?
Oh, let me tell you what I think about that. I think it's weird. I mean, not that Diggle is not worthy of it, but it's just... One, how long is it? First of all, how long is it actually going to last before Oliver's Green Arrow again? Two, how is Diggle's little hand trimmers going to affect him being the Arrow?
Yeah, like how are you going to draw a bow back?
Yeah.
It's hard, man. Telling you.
He's like, he was going there to tell Oliver about that, and then he's like, oh, well, I guess I have more responsibility now that requires me to still be really skillful and not have these hand tremors.
Yeah, that's what I thought was kind of ridiculous, was that, like, Oliver gave up the Green Arrow because he has a son now, but it's like, John has a son too, but he's going to be the Green Arrow. How does this help anything?
You know, if John dies, his son's not alone.
Correct, because Lila's still around. So
I mean, it still sucks, obviously, but William will be alone if Oliver dies. He'll have nobody.
A couple things I think about Diggle taking up the mantle. First of all, they've done this before. He's donned the cowl or the hood, if you will. This time, though, I think it's a little bit bizarre, like you were saying, because he has John Jr. Or baby Sarah, depending on which timeline you're a part of. Flashpoint reference there. So the thing I think that is bizarre, though, is that he's going to only just, I think, appear as the Arrow long enough to get the FBI to stop their investigation so Ollie can get back to work. I think that a couple things have to happen, though, for that to happen. I think that Diggle's going to die as Green Arrow because he's not going to be able to draw his bow back. He's not going to be able to save himself, and something's going to go wrong, and they're going to unmask him as the Green Arrow. Then the FBI's like, well, shit, the investigation is off, you know, for real. You know, we have an answer. And then, of course, Oliver is going to take so much responsibility for that. Like, well, now John Jr. doesn't have a son or a father. And, of course, that sets John Jr. up to be future Green Arrow in 2046 in Legends.
Oh, yeah.
With his name change of Connor Hawk.
Well, did you see the tease for later this week's episode of Arrow?
I did not. I try to avoid those.
Yeah, well... Can I spoil it here, or should I wait?
Sure, man. Go ahead. I don't give no fucks.
Well, because they did a very season one style bit with John. Like, he, because I think, Dinah is, like, questioning, John's ability to shoot the arrows. So he takes the, thing of tennis balls, throws in the wall, and then just shoots and gets all of the arrows into the wall. I was like, oh. All right, but it makes it sound like he's going to be running the team now, because it looks like Oliver's nowhere to be found in that teaser.
Interesting.
So I'm definitely. I think that's the episode I'm looking forward to most of this coming run. So like tonight's and then the rest of the weeks. I think that's the one I'm most excited for.
Speaking of those teasers, so I've been watching through the CW app, thanks to you. And so I'm sitting here watching The Flash, because the CW app has commercials, obviously, probably most likely to keep it free. And as I'm watching the commercials in between segments of The Flash, they throw the fucking next week's Flash stuff in.
Yeah, like, that's the only thing you
really cool.
You have to really only watch, like, yeah, they've gotten me before with that. You gotta. If you wait till the end, like, that's what screwed me over with Westworld, too, is, like, sometimes they'll tease an episode you're currently watching. I feel like they should avoid the show you're watching during that show. Like, don't show Flash trailers during Flash. Just wait.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Someone needs to put that in their suggestion box.
It's like us teasing episode 165 of JIC during 164. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, I think bizarrely we have done something like that before. Talked about episodes that haven't even. It's so weird, guys. I tell you. But overall, I loved this episode of Arrow. Little reference to Bruce Wayne, yes, which was cool. They actually mentioned him a couple times, which means he is definitely on Earth One. Rumor is that there is a possibility we will get a Batman in the Arrowverse.
Really?
Yes, they have talked about it, and one of the big things was like, look. People said that BVS was going to stop them from using Superman and all these other characters, and of course the whole thing was Suicide Squad and the shifting there. However, big however here, with them using Tyler, whatever, Laughlin, I think his name.
Hachlin?
Hachlin, Hochlin.
Yeah, something like that.
Hochlin, whatever his fucking name is, the guy that played Superman on Supergirl, that kind of opened a door. Now you've opened a door even more because you've mentioned Bruce's name very clearly with no, like, subversive, oh, you know, it could have been the CEO from Wayne Enterprises. They didn't say that. They said clearly Bruce Wayne a couple times. Is he in our city? No. So I just think it is very likely that at some point they can pull that trigger and make the decision to go, okay, let's gamble hard on our TV and really bring a Batman. Who knows? Maybe that Batman is the Batman from Gotham in the future.
Could be. Or it could. I think it might end up being, because they've tied it into Supergirl, that, like, Clark's friend. So I think it could easily be from that Earth. But I don't think they could do it on the Arrowverse without having missed all the stuff going on in Gotham City for the past few years.
Totally.
So I think if they had him, like, show up, or if there's some ever point that whole team is on Kara's Earth, and just have, like, Superman bring Batman over and have, like, a freaking proto Justice League moment.
Oh, that would be sick.
Just play the Come Together song again.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious too. But they have to do a different cut of it. I think that's like the White Stripes version of Come Together. Do like, or do Aerosmith's version? You know, that's my personal favorite. I love the Beatles. Don't get me wrong, but
do a different version. Do a different Beatles song. Like, I don't know how this works. They're doing Yellow Submarine. What's
or it'd be hilarious if they started walking to Hey Jude.
Have you guys heard the Godsmack cover of Come Together?
No, I'll look it up though after this.
Good stuff.
Before we wrap today, I just real quick wanted to thank you guys for being a part of the Podcast-a-mania. That was a very intense weekend for me, and it would not have gone off without a hitch without your guys' imminent help. We put out some really fun episodes, I thought. A lot of that can be recounted on the best of the week from week 10, 16, 17. Some of that's going to be recounted on next week or this week's best of, because some of those episodes won't drop until this week and the coming weeks.
Isn't Foodies dropping on Wednesday?
Yeah, Foodies Watching Movies, The First Supper, featuring everyone from the network except for Lauren, is going to drop on Wednesday. It's going to be awesome. Tomorrow with The Poor Report, Episode 8, One America. Thursday, we've got Podcastrophe, Episode 8. He's not that fast. And then we're Butt Stuff. I don't know what the title of the episode is, but episode 5 drops this week, and it's already been recorded. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited to hear what they have. Some cool stuff coming from the Butt Stuff camp.
Definitely rolling out a lot of episodes.
Yeah, they put out a really awesome, I don't know if you guys have listened to it yet, but they have a Patreon exclusive episode, episode 4.5, where they talk about The Evil Dead. Caitlin had never seen the movie. They watched it, and her reaction is in real time, and it's hilarious. Oh. There is some silence because obviously they're watching a movie, so, and we know what that's like, AP, where there's some silences. But with the way their show already is, it doesn't seem like an unnatural silence. And then they come in with some really funny and witty banter. So if you guys aren't a patron yet, throw $3 over to us. You get exclusive content right here on the Patreon at patreon.com/journeyintocomics. To get into the plugs, you can check out Journey Into Comics on all the different social media sites, whether it be Facebook at Journey Into Comics Podcast, Instagram at Journey Into Comics, Twitter at JIC Network, on YouTube. You can get us on all the different podcasting services such as iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, I'm missing one, Google Play Music, that was the other one, and then all the other little sub ones like Overcast, Downcast, Podchasers, and whatnot. Folks, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We would love to have 30 reviews. We are at 28 right now, so we're getting close. I think we actually have 29 because we have like a Canadian review I didn't even know about until like last week, because you can't see international reviews on an American iTunes. You have to go to, there's a special site you have to go to and plug your shit into it, and they send you the things. I had to the review was like from 2 years ago. Someone in Canada said some really nice shit about us. I didn't even know. I felt awful. I was like, wow, I didn't even shout them out and say thanks. So, hey.
Thank you, Canada.
Thanks, Canada. who has recently listened to some Podcastrophe and some Poor Report. Canadians, checking you guys out. As always, find AP and Blaine on their shows every week on the Journey into Comics Network. You get the Poor Report on Tuesdays, Podcastrophe on Thursdays. Get them on all their different social media sites with the Poor Report. It's Poor Report, all one word, on all three of the major social media networks, whether it's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. And then I'm pretty sure it's Podcastrophe Podcast on all the same for Blaine, except for on Facebook, yeah. It's just Podcastrophe. Yeah. So I don't really have anything else, guys. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we call it an evening?
So for my episode, you mentioned my episode's title, which is He's Not That Fast. For this coming week's episode, I had my friend Matt over, and he got married this weekend, and the person who is not that fast, Felipe, I gotta say, he's a lot faster than we all thought, because it came time to throw the garter, and boy oh boy, he fucking grabbed it. He snatched that shit up.
Lightning fast.
He's a lot faster than we thought.
You could have thought the Flash was in the room with you stealing the garter.
Could have.
He's doomed himself to a life of ultimate misery.
Another thing, I would like to remind everybody that on Wednesday, November 15th at 5:45 p.m., at the Bean in Chicago, Illinois, it is Windex the Bean Day.
Oh, they're gonna clean the bean.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm literally just looking at it on Facebook. I thought it'd be fun to mention. You're gonna Windex the bean.
Interesting. Clean the bean sounds a lot dirtier than it probably is. But I digress. All right, folks, we're gonna get the fuck out of here. It's been a long weekend for the Nate, and I'm ready to call it an evening. So, folks, I just want to thank Blaine and AP for coming back. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah.
Awesome, you. Awesome. We will see you guys throughout the week here on the Journey into Comics Network. As always, for Journey into Comics, this is episode 162. And I'm Nate. Oh, see, hold on, time out. No. See, I tricked you motherfuckers because I knew both of you would stall, like, who's supposed to go next? What do we do here? So in future, when we have shows like this where we're all three together, the way we should do it is based on when your show drops. So, Blaine, that means that this week you have to tell everybody to keep filling their heads with shit. Are you ready to step up to the challenge?
Can I?
Okay, good. We're ready. Here we go, folks. We're going to try this again all in real time because I don't edit shit, and I love that this is how we talk. So, here we go. This is episode 162 of Journey into Comics. Let's try that again. I'm Nate.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Dick. Fill your brains with shit.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you later.